You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is Edward Castello, who is going to be popping into the studio very shortly with the wonderful track Down by the Riverside. You're on BFM.
Took a trip to the back of my mind. Found myself down by the riverside. Heard a man screaming at the sky. He made no sense, but he sure did try. Down by the riverside.
Such an epic end to that song. That is Down by the Riverside by Edward Castello, who is in the studio. Morena, how are you?
Hey, Morena, good. Thank you.
It's very nice to have you up here. That is from your wonderful album, Mirth.
Mirth, yes.
Mirth. A great name for a very cool record that has got wonderful songs on it, with also some wonderful friends of yours as well. All sorts of great people have been involved in that project. And we're chatting to you today about another kind of lovely collaborative evening that you're a part of at Frieda's in Grey Lynn.
Correct.
With Owen the Mo.
Yeah.
And there is very low tickets for that one as well.
Yeah, well, it's a small, cute little swoony little wine bar. And there's only a handful. Oh, which begs me to ask you guys, how many is a handful?
That's a handful.
You know, like when people say, "Oh, there's a handful left," is that 5? Is that 10?
I would say anywhere from 5 to 10.
Yeah, okay.
5 to 9. I would say even 10 is probably a bit too much.
There's a handful of tickets left. But it's a fun little show that we sort of put together over the internet, really. I'd never met the guys. They'd never met me. And I just really liked their record from last year, In Transit. And I just reached out and we started a dialogue and... Hey, let's do a couple of gigs.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's the best way for those things to come about. It's called the Songwriters Soiree, which I think is quite a nice way of framing it as well, because you are a fantastic songwriter. Your stories are quite
Rachel.
Epic. And also when you worked with Dictaphone Blues as well, you were known for writing a good kind of narrative into your songs. How do you start with a song, Edward? Where does it come from?
This time around it was half asleep in bed during the lockdown. And I find in the past, if I've watched TV and with the sound off and played guitar, I think anywhere that sort of, for me, doesn't just like soak me into, gotta write a song. Anywhere where I can have a little bit of something take a part of my brain away from what it is I'm doing, and then hopefully you will receive something that's nice.
That's a good thing. I think some, you know, people have lots of different ways that they approach making art. Some people need that total, you know, clinical silence.
Immersion in the idea.
Facing the wall, no distractions. Yeah. But I think having that kind of like something in the background that can take your mind a little bit off of it, that must be quite interesting. Do you ever find it takes you in a weird direction you didn't expect to be going? Suddenly you're writing about a murder mystery that you're watching on the telly, or how does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, case in point, the epic ending of that song. Yeah. Yep. Sort of take me away, and I'm as guilty as hell as probably getting a bit too lost and dreamy, and probably the next thing I want to do is write as simple as possible and like just have like, okay, Ed, man, like,
three chords and the truth.
Three chords. Well, at least like, you know, you're not allowed more than 5 things. Yeah. You know, like drums, bass, guitar, and vocals or something. You know, that's 4 or 5 keyboards, and good question. How find an answer.
I feel like Owen the Mo also have this lovely...
They do.
We were talking about their music videos before we came on air. They kind of build these lovely little worlds, and it's quite dreamy and it's quite surreal sometimes as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's part of what drew me to them. If anybody's ever looked at any of their music videos, they're not afraid to... commit to characters, to getting lost in that dreamy idea, and that's kind of what attracted me to the group, I think, as well. Because you got to believe in that stuff. Like if you try it and you do it and it doesn't kind of come off, it's easy to see that it's not believable.
Yeah.
But you know, you've got to commit and you've got to believe in the idea and the artistic merit of what you're doing. And that was something that, I think they do really, really well.
It sounds like for you, lockdown was quite productive then. You sort of made this record.
I really was, and I wasn't expecting to be. And I had friends who you know, like, totally weren't, and I feel shit sometimes that I was.
It's a tricky one. People have had really different experiences of it, and you know, when we get people in the studio to have a chat about albums that have been made in the last year, the varying ways they've come about, you know, it comes from all these really different situations people were living in, because you're just kind of in that space for such a long period of time.
Look, I'm I'm not a full-time artist. I have a day job. So when I got stuck inside for 4 weeks, and you know, it was a partial escape from my day job. So I was like, holy heck, you know, I'm gonna, you know, take some things home and get busy. But like a lot of my, you know, artist friends that do it full time, you know, almost felt like they had to be even more creative, you
know,
when that was not necessarily the case. And it's hard, you know, for you can't beat yourself up about it.
No.
You're going to hit a brick wall.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been such an unusual year as well. Just managing to get through it is a pretty good thing, I think.
Mm. Well done us.
Well done all of us, eh? tell us a wee bit about how you kind of ended up with these wonderful collaborations on this record, because you got people like Anna Coddington on there, you got Julia Deans.
Mate, I just reached out. I've known both of those folk for years. I mean, Julie is always going to be Lady Deans to me. you know, when I was in my early 20s, I was living in Australia around the time that Fur Patrol was living there, and you know, we were just like young grommies, you know, gives her support, Julia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're a hero, you know. And so, you know, I had her email.
Nice.
No, I just reached out to both of those ladies, and they were kind enough to come along on a day, and they're absolute consummate professionals. And I had a couple of ideas of what I would like them to do, and they just ran with that and embellished on that. And you know, it was sort of in and out in a Sunday morning, really,
for
the vocals, and then the horn section. Can't remember whether we did one or two sessions, probably just one with those guys, and they're all like trained jazz cats,
know
their stuff, and yeah.
It must be quite cool when you have a project that has been very much a solo project, especially a lockdown project as well, to then be able to bring other people into the studio and get a bit of input from other people. It also feels like quite a different process from, you know, Dictaphone Blues, a band, a real band context. How did you find, I guess, realising this record, putting all these elements together from the start of a song through to actually having it recorded? Did you find it quite different to any previous projects you've worked on?
It came about like it was the quickest one. I'd start with a little guitar noodle on the nylon string guitar and a hummed melody, which I still have all of the songs recorded as as notes on my phone. And then I'd scurry away and do a bit of day job work, and then sort of in the afternoon I'd pull up that idea and I'd start recording it, and by the end of the day I'd have I'd call it a demo.
Cool.
And then and I did that for 2 weeks, and I had about 14 songs, and then I came back and redid the lyrics over the full 14 songs. And that, for me, I mean, like, usually it would take me a couple of years to do something, just because life gets
in the way.
Or music gets out of the way. And all of the other guys coming along, and they were just like finishing touches that I really, really wanted to sort of just finish it. I think to answer your question, it was just the quickest one, and I wasn't so anal about everything.
I've
learned a lot. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, even though I still feel like one. And I put everything that I'd learned in previous albums into the writing and recording of this one.
That's awesome. What can people expect from Saturday Night? What are you coming into?
The kind of complete, if you've listened to the record, or do go and listen to the record before you come to the gig, or just listen to the record, it's just guitar and voice.
Cool.
And
taking it back to basics.
Taking it back to basics, yeah. and maybe some piano, and Alvin and Liv from Owen the Mo, the same again. They are pretty stripped back. They do, Alvin plays this lovely big baritone guitar, and Liv plays a normal acoustic guitar. And we play on each other's songs.
Awesome.
It was really surprising. We had sort of sorted out a couple of songs each to sort of play on. And then they surprised me by playing on a couple of extra ones when we were at the Nelson show, and that made it really fun for us. So a bit of that. There's a couple of covers that we throw in. We talk a little bit, not too much. It's not like a
cabaret night,
full cabaret night, but. Yeah, we talk about, you know, the essence of the song. We sort of zoom around the three themes of love, life and loss. And hopefully there's a little bit of audience participation along the way. And
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think I've heard you say a couple of times, it's just a nice wholesome
Wholesome's
night.
The word, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard you drop that a couple of times on my drive to work. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking it's going to be a very wholesome, lovely evening indeed.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think Frieda's is a nice venue for it as well. You feel
it is.
Very intimate. The Songwriters Soiree,
featuring
Edward Castello, who is in the studio, and the Mo.
Oh, the Mo.
As you said, a handful of tickets left. So if you want to grab some, be very quick about it. Where can people go and get tickets?
Under the Radar. Sure, the listeners are familiar with Under the Radar. And if you're listening all the way down in Thames, we're playing there tomorrow night at the Back Room. And tickets are available from the venue, the Lotus Realm, the Back Room. Collab or from Under the Radar. Would love to see you down there in Thames. But yes, Auckland on Saturday. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to listen to Tongue and Groove now. Have a great couple of gigs.
Thanks.
was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.